We love supporting and promoting the creators of musical theater throughout the world, and we would love to have your support as well. Go to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the Become a Patron button, because a supportive community is a strong community. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. We are heading over to England to speak with our next guest today, who just released a new album a couple of weeks ago, Carly Powley and Friends. So let's welcome to the show, Carly Powley. Carly, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It feels a very warm welcome as well.
Well, thank you. I always like to try and get my guests, you know, at ease before we delve into that deep questioning that never happens. So,
very excited.
So I always like to ask my guests their 30-second bio, just so we get to know who they are. So who is Carly in 30 seconds?
Carly is a girl that was extremely inspired by artists such as Doris Day and Julie Andrews when she was just a little girl, storytellers really through music. She was born with a very classical sound. She's always had a classical voice. And growing up in the UK, in Nottingham to be precise, so a friend of Robin Hood's, but then from my mother's side of the family, my mum's actually Italian from the south of Italy in a very beautiful place called Puglia. And that happens to be the musical side of the family as such. So I suppose I draw on lots of influences, both from that early musical theatre world of watching the Hollywood MGM classics, yeah, but then, of course, also my Italian heritage. That would be Carly Powley.
So you were always into musical and arts and singing from a young age, or is that something you discovered a little bit later?
I have had the same dream for as long as I can remember. I think actually it's funny when you just said Be Our Guest, my spark of inspiration started with Disney, and that's just because children are such mimickers. You know, I used to mimic all of the characters in The Little Mermaid, and including Sebastian. And eventually my mum bought me my first Hollywood musical, which was Calamity Jane, and I just completely fell in love, and I always knew what I wanted to do from there.
So there was no other occupation that might have crept in when you were growing up that went, you know what, I love performing, but maybe I want to do this. I'm always curious.
Well, it was when I was about 8 years old, and I just started Stagecoach, which is a big theatre school that runs across the country, dancing, acting, singing, and it was on a Sunday. But I also loved horse riding. I think I had a secret desire to be a jockey at one point. So thank goodness I didn't go down that route, because I would have been far too tall. It would have never happened. And I think I was probably a bit better at the singing.
Do you still have an affinity for the horses, or is that moment passed?
That moment's passed. I have far too much self-preservation now. I don't know. I started skiing is probably the only extreme sport that I've tried, and I really do come down that mountain at snail pace.
You know what? As long as you're having fun, it doesn't matter how fast you go down the hill.
So absolutely.
So let's talk about this album that just got released. What was it, about 2 weeks ago? I believe just late September, I think.
Sometime. Yes. Perfect. It's a labor of love, a real labor of love. I suppose lots of people would tell me I'm mad. It's a collaboration album. Mm-hmm. And all of the tracks you hear are with the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. So it's with a glorious orchestra that happened to be playing in Prague, whilst we recorded from a studio here in London, because it was an album made during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But it sees me perform with artists that I've been immensely inspired by over the years, such as David Phelps, the tenors from Canada, who have been long friends, Elaine Page, Tony Hadley. I suppose the thing that we all you know, the artists have in common is they all have a very distinctive voice and are very known for their vocal talents and gifts. And that's what's special. It feels like a celebration of the human voice and of art coming out of a time that artists struggle to get by.
For sure. And especially during the pandemic too, putting this together during that, congratulations just on that alone, getting that done. So that's fantastic for you.
Thank you.
So how did you decide who was going to be on the album with you? How did you approach these people?
A lot of them are friends. As I've said, the tenors are friends. We've performed together actually in Calgary in Canada. And also Elaine Page, we had the chance to perform together at the Roman Forum. Believe it or not, it was a special night to celebrate Pope Francis's Jubilee Year of Mercy. Wow. So there's already a connection there. David Phelps was one of the very emotional connections, as I've always loved his singing, and it's always really moved me emotionally, his performances. So it was pretty exciting, actually, sending the song over to him and then eventually receiving his vocal back. And you did just receive the raw vocal, you know, without the music. It was exactly what he'd done in the studio. And all of a sudden, David's in my living room from Nashville. And I think that's really special. But with a lot of the singers, it was really about having a good relationship throughout, because we had to absolutely be on the same page and have share the same vision to bring these songs to life when very often we weren't able to be in the studio together.
It is quite the who's who that you have on this album. So it sounds great. People need to take a listen to it. So This is a musical theater radio station. I'm going to talk a little bit about musical theater. Were you into musical theater at any point in your life? I know you sing a lot of classical and things like that, but and you have some musical theater songs, which we will talk about. But were you into musical theater?
I love musical theater. I mean, when I was 16, I won a scholarship to study at Tring Park, which is a big musical theater college here in the UK. And in my class, I was alongside people like Lily James, who she's now gone on to play Cinderella, and Jessica Brown Findlay from Downton Abbey. Really wonderful people. But my voice, it was always my voice that was my forte. I loved singing and dancing. And so moving on from there, I went to music conservatoire. And I suppose it just took me on a different path. But no, there is absolutely still that little person inside dying to start tap dancing mid-sentence.
Do you think you'll ever do that one day on stage? Do some little tap dancing?
I'd like to hope so. Okay. Absolutely. And I've done things since, filming wise, for Sky Arts, that's allowed me to dance and bring back, you know, some of those skills that I learned in earlier years that often the kind of performances I do now don't always have space for.
Yeah. Bringing tap into a classical Italian aria is probably difficult when you're on stage.
Well, and I'm going to be the first. I will see it forward.
When that happens, please let the world know. I want to see the tap dancing aria. So
we love a medley, so you can always string them into a medley somewhere. Absolutely, bring on the guys in the top hat and tails. That's what you need.
That's awesome. So, like I said, you've got a few musical theater songs on the album, including "This Is My Lovely Day" from the 1947 West End show "Bless the Bride." What drew you to this song? Because this song is, you know, 60 years old, and you know, we don't know. I didn't know it over here. I had to look it up and find out information. What drew you to performing that song?
It's a very beautiful song. Primarily, it's such a gorgeous melody, and also it's kind of a lost gem. You know, this is coming out of the world of operetta, so you're thinking about Lehar and the fabulous songs by Ivan Avello, which it was sort of that music that then inspired the greats like Rodgers and Hart and Rodgers and Hammerstein. And it was just written in such a perfect way for voices. It absolutely showcases voices off at the best. It's an area that I always say I'm an old soul. I was definitely born in the wrong era. But also with Joseph Kalea, who is one of the world's best tenors. It's such an honor to share this song with him on the album. He became quite known as well for having that romantic sound of Mario Lanza, which is completely encapsulated in this kind of music. It's the romance of the golden age, and that's what really drew me to this song.
Well, it's a beautiful song, and we play it on the station. We've got it in our rotation, so yeah. And if it wasn't a good song, it wouldn't be in the rotation. So,
I'm thrilled to hear that.
And you also have a medley of a rainbow. It's called the Rainbow Medley, and you've got musical theater songs. What drew you to those songs that you chose to put into that song as well?
I think it was more the idea of celebrating the rainbow. The rainbow is such a sign of hope and peace and a celebration of life almost. You know, it's kind of one of the great wonders when you see a rainbow appear out of a storm. It's really special, and it's been very symbolic throughout all of this time. One of the most beautiful songs for me is Somewhere Over the Rainbow, because I think it's the kind of song that it can either bring really joyful, it can either deliver a joyful message or a nostalgic message. It means something different to every listener. Mm-hmm. And so we took a combination of all of these beautiful songs, Look to the Rainbow from Finian's Rainbow, Over the Rainbow, of course, and then the Kermit the Frog favorite, Rainbow Connection.
Yes.
Although I didn't perform it with Kermit the Frog, I performed this with the beautiful Elaine Page, and I sort of feel the way she is such an amazing storyteller, it sort of feels almost like a lullaby, as though she's invited you to sit down by the side of the fire and listen to this lovely warm mixture of songs about rainbows.
Wonderful. So what's next for Carly? What's on the horizon?
Well, that's always a funny question. I'm in the middle at the moment, as we speak, a new show is being edited that I recently filmed from a beautiful castle nestled in the countryside of Northumberland, and it's kind of on the English Scottish border, so an amazing castle steeped in fantastic history. But it was before Christmas we made this show called Christmas at the Castle, which was absolutely, as I said, an old soul, drawing back to the days of the Andy Williams and Bing Crosby Christmas specials, delivering songs that everybody loves, but with fantastic artists like Joseph Kalea, an amazing pianist called Oliver Poole. So that had huge success at Christmas. And this is going to be the follow-on. So it will be Summer at the Castle, but actually it's bringing some of the amazing cast that feature on the album, such as Tony Hadley, Ali Jones. There's a stonking track by Misha Paris on there where we're singing Let the River Run and Something Inside So Strong and another little medley. So it will celebrate lots of what you're getting to hear on the album, but with the visuals of a beautiful historic English castle.
Wonderful. That sounds fantastic. And do you know when that might be, we might be able to see it or hear this?
I think it should be coming to screens before the end of this year. So stay tuned. You'll be the first to know, Jean-Paul.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to actually believe I'll be the first, but I will. I look forward to hearing it and seeing it for sure. And how do people keep track of, you know, where to find out this information? How can they find out more about getting the album as well?
I love interacting with my audience. So on any of my social channels, I'm there on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, my website, of course. There's always new things going up there, and there's always little backstage performances and I suppose kind of the making of bringing all of this together, because it's been quite a journey. You know, we started this album in January, and it's only just come out now, and what we were doing at the castle was recorded just before summer. So there's been lots of things happening, and it's quite special to share those connections, not just with the audience, but then also with the other artists as well, because that's what we love. I think that's the joy in all of this, being able to be back with other musicians.
For sure, for sure. It's been too long since we've been able to sit down together and create. We can do it virtually, but it's that power and emotion of being in the same room together. So, yes.
Yes.
And how, where can they find the album to purchase?
The album's available on iTunes, Amazon. It's in our HMV stores, WH Smith, Spotify, all the usual places that you would expect to find music, I suppose.
Wonderful. And our listeners, definitely go check that out. It's got some beautiful songs on it, some great musical theater songs as well. And before we part, Carly, I want to ask you a two-part question. Is there a song in musical theater that you haven't sung yet that you would love to sing? And is there anybody in musical theater that you'd love to sing with? That you haven't sung with?
Oh, wow, that's tough. I'm a huge fan of Stephen Pasquale. I think he is an amazing singer, and particularly, again, capturing that beautiful era of, you know, the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic. So that would be a joy to sing with him one day. A song in musical. I have performed this song, but it's kind of a little, again, one of those lost gems that people don't always know. And it's absolutely my favorite song of all time to perform. And it's called Make the Man Love Me. It was written by Dorothy Fields and I think Arthur Schwartz. And I have a list of what I call 90 songs. Because there's a certain group of songs that you get to sing, and it's always that moment that the heroine sits in a window box in the most fantastic dressing gown in silks and, you know, the absolutely beautiful, lit with perfection. Yeah. And this would be number one in my list of 90 songs.
Well, I look forward to seeing it on or perform somewhere. And if Stephen is listening, let's get you together. Let's connect you and let's see what we can do.
Yes, who knows? That would be incredible. Absolutely.
Carly, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to me and introducing the listeners that might not know you to who you are and your wonderful music. And to the listeners who do know you, they get to know you a little bit better.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem, no problem. We were just speaking with Carly Powley, who just dropped the album Carly Powley and Friends just a couple of weeks ago. Make sure to check out the album in iTunes and in stores and digitally. We'll be back next week with another guest or guests, and we talk about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. Until next time, I'm Jean-Paul Yovanoff, and until then, I'll see you when I see you.